Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, my Lord, peace and blessings, my beloved brothers and sisters, family and friends. How are y'all doing? This voice that you're listening to actually is a voice of grogginess. I literally just woke up, had to be awakened, to be honest with you. So allow me to get up, let me get myself together. Yes, I do have to say, to give you my apology and sharing that with you because of the fact that I haven't been on for 2 days. And I have to be also honest with you about when I'm not on, and I come to find out, and I know this, you know, sometimes you need to be reminded that the first person who gets what it is God has for everybody is you. And so I love the fact that God would have me learn that which is a necessity so that I can share. And I learn also, if you ever notice anything about me, I don't go by a sermon. I simply go through that sermon through the Holy Spirit. And so I don't know what I'm really going to say until it's really time to say it. And I got to be honest, I like it like that. I like being surprised. And I never go back to find out how I sound. I never, it's just what it is. What I gave you is what I got. And I love talking about God. I just simply love talking about God. I talk about him in the supermarket. Then. I don't care where I am. Somebody is going to hear the name Jesus. It's just, whew, thank you, Jesus. Anyway, I also day about something that has been working my heart for the past 2 days. And I ask you to please pray for me and pray for all of us as a nation. Because one of the things that is truly a reality is birds that flock together. You know, you can see, you can hear about how you can watch better how you can put people together and they all be the same type of people. You know, you're going to very rarely find where you're going to find people who are in science hang around people who are doing something else. You're going to very rarely find somebody who's, or people who are into astrology going to hang around people who are into science. It's very rare you're going to see a group of people who are doing something different. I remember when I used to be in drugs, I found it to be remarkable that people who was on crack wouldn't hang out with people necessarily who was on alcohol unless the person who was on alcohol was on both crack and alcohol. And it's the same thing with just about everything. If you find that there's a group of women who are big, you'll find that a lot of times they're hanging around women who are also big. I found today, just today, where it really hit me and caused me to see how powerful Satan is. And I'm saying that because, wow, He is so slick. He's so smart. He's so clever. Very cunning. He's amazing. I looked and saw how, actually, to be honest with you, I was in a church. And while being in this particular church, some people was literally flopped together. And all basically about the same size. But not only that, they had the same attitude. They had the same interests. They talked about people who didn't have what they had. They felt more comfortable with what they was doing. Now, Satan has a tendency of making so that people flock together who have the same interests so wonderfully until literally everybody won't really pay attention to the fact there's churches wherever you go, whether it's in a bar, a club, whether it's in a skating rink. It doesn't matter where you go. There are somebody somewhere being a part of an interest that causes them to feel like they're home. I remember there was a television show that would come on, and it was about a bartender. And one of the songs or the theme song would be how everybody knew you, how you felt at home. And that's how Satan gets us. And I'm asking us to please, I'm going to say a short prayer, and I'm asking us to please, please pay attention, and I'm going to be using different nationalities, and I'm not targeting any nationalities, no culture, but I just want us to pay attention to what God wants from us, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to say just simply thank you. Thank you for using me. Thank you for causing me to go through suffering, as I thank you for causing me to see the difference between the two, suffering and that of comfort. I want to say thank you, Father God, for making it so that I can go through whatever you so choose. Because everything I go through, Father God, it enables me to see what's about to come. One shape, fashion, or form. And I never allowed myself, Father God, to get comfortable with what is at this moment, because I understand that it can shift the next moment. I want to say thank you for everything you are, the comforter, the convictor. I want to say thank you, Father God, for you being the guide. Oh, Father God, thank you for being the healer. Thank you for teaching us how to keep things in order, as I thank you for not being a man of confusion. I want to say thank you, Father God, for all that you are, because everything you are, I want to be. Thank you. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. After coming out this particular church, I took a walk. And I stood around, and I do this all the time. I do this consistently, not necessarily after coming out of church, but I like taking a lot of walks and exploring different areas and looking at architecture and things of that nature. And love talking to God. And I talk to God, I mean, as if he's right there. I talk to God as if he's right in me. I talk to God as if he's my friend. And I love doing that because things like being comfortable with the one who created you. There's nothing greater than having the ability to let out everything you already know he knows. So that him and you can just chop it up, really. I mean, just, and he's so wise and so tender and so loving and so intelligent. He's so much you can never imagine that he would want to be with somebody who would have done this me. It makes me feel so special that he would take the time to actually listen and then to share his thoughts. So while I was moving around, I'm paying attention, and I saw how Father God, a group of individuals who were, let's say, gangbangers, how they had such a common interest. Dummies are very smart. Their common interest caused them to be stagnated because what they also was about, or should I say what they also was not about, was building. They all talked the same game. They all wanted to impress each other. They all wanted to be heard. And none of them talked about much of anything. And I come to see that Satan loves building churches because the reality is he wants everybody to feel comfortable where they are, with the exception of those who build in the kingdom of God. He don't want you to feel so comfortable until you're literally wanting to learn more about God, wanting to speak about God all the time. He don't want you talking about God. But he most certainly do not want you to learn about God. While I was walking around, I'm looking at people, and all they talked about was pure, unadulterated mess. Who was the rapper of the year? Who became the millionaire? How they was, what cars they was driving in. Just so much into the materialistic stuff until they got stuck there. And I just, my hands behind my back, and, you know, now shake like an old man, meaning, you know, rocking back and forth until I blend in without blending in. And as I was listening, I mean, literally, they didn't talk about nothing. But what they did do was let it be known why we need to be consistently talking about Jesus. They caused me to feel so good that I'm no longer a part of the world, that I don't get involved with what's going around in the world. When I say I don't get involved, I don't mean I don't get to learn. God wants you to learn about that which you are in, but to not get involved with the things of the world is highly important. And I enjoy the reality of having the ability to look at God and say, thank you. Thank you for making it to where I do not have to be a part of that which is stagnated. Everything that has to do with God is about growing, building, climbing, Everything that has to do with God has to do with multiplying. He wants us Christians to build businesses and open medical centers and schools. He wants us to concentrate on how to get into farming and learning how to make it so that we know so much about agriculture until the food be pure. He wants us to build so much on the reality of what he would want for us until literally people would have to come to us in order to get the best of food, best of care, the best guidance, the best. He loves us so much until he wants us to show the world what love looks like. Not just talking about how we love one another and looking out for one another, but treating one another as if we don't fit into the world. That we'd be so peculiar to people until everybody would say they are different. And they don't seem to fit. They don't do things the way we do. Big people hang out with big people. Skinny people hang out with skinny people. Very attractive people hang out with very attractive people. These group of people, what I'm looking at is they're big and they're small and they're tall, they're short. Some are smart, not too smart. Some are this, some got that. Some are rich, some are poor. They don't fit in because the reality is they all fit in because of that one foundation. They have what it takes to give that which allows them to not be prejudiced. They have love. They have Jesus. And they come to understand that they can have fellowship with one another simply because of the fact that they have that love. And they hold on to that love and they have fellowship because of that love. And they literally build because of that love. So while I was walking around, God was telling me that the reason why we as Christians do not actually have the things in which we should have to let it be known that we are set apart is that love. I remember a young lady, her name was Leslie. Can't say her last name. Some of you might know her. But she worked for a company that was into oil. And from oil, they made tires. She said when she went to this place, all they talked about was what they was into. And if the conversation seemed to shift, how's your wife and how's your husband, how the kids, it would always come back to oil. And the more they talked about it, the more you found out how much they loved what they was talking about. As a matter of fact, if they was just talking about their family, if they were talking about how little Billy just went to school and how he cried because Mama walked out, you know, if they went and started to talk about these things, they said it was just a common thing to do. But when they talked about oil, how ignited they was, how they were so much into it, she said she had never seen nothing like it before in her life. And she said that's what kept her in the company because she come to understand that the reality is that's how they was a part of something. That's what drew them together. it made those who are not as informed to want to become more informed. And those who have climbed up the ladder, it made them want to be part of the company so much until they become the shop baller. The shot callers. Check this out. Turn your Bibles with me, and all of us is familiar with this. We're going to start here because we need to tell the world that we are not a part of the world. So we're going to start here only because God is God. And he's given us something simple to do so that, or something just simple to start with. We're going to go to Romans and 12. Romans and 12. Thank you, Father God, for your love and your... I just simply don't even know what to say about you, Father God. But I do know what to do with you, and that is to stay with you regardless to what's going on, because you know what to do. In Jesus' name, I say amen. All right, my beloved brothers and sisters. The Apostle Paul is begging. I literally wrote a letter, and I'm telling you, I'm being honest with you, wrote a letter begging people. I said, if I am begging you to help me help people, stop begging. I'm being honest with you. I wrote a letter. I'm begging you to purchase socks for me so that we in unity can help people who had to become beggars. I wrote that letter. I'm being honest with you. So here is Paul. He's begging Christians. And this is what he said. Thank you, Jesus. I beseech you, begging you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. What he's talking about is he's begging us to worship God in spirit and truth, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, so that we can be a part of that which is a part of Jesus. I want you to make it so that your body be under your subjection so that you can show the world that you're different people. Okay. Only have a little bit of time. We're gonna finish this off tomorrow. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be proved, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you know how hard it is for somebody to show that they don't mind standing alone in a world that insists on having groups? Yet the people who don't mind standing alone get with people who also don't mind standing alone. Do you know how powerful that is? Because Jesus said that when two or more are in agreement, there I am in the midst. I'm going to have to finish this tomorrow. See, I talk too much. See how sorry it was just to talk with you. God bless you. I love you. Please forgive me. Take care of yourself.